Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
920 on the Voice of St. Louis, a new year and a new Congress. John Hancock and Michael Kelly look back on the struggle to get a House Speaker elected and a look at 2025 in national politics.
It's hard to remember, but a little over almost a year ago, we were watching Speaker McCarthy fight for his life at the United States House of Representatives, where Matt Gaetz had made a challenge as to whether or not he would be able to be Speaker. He was successful in ultimately toppling Matt Gaetz as Speaker McCarthy, because the Democrats didn't play ball with the Republicans. What a way to start the year.
It was crazy. And you went through a whole cycle of people, including Steve Scalise, and nobody could put the votes together. And finally, after days and days of inability to accomplish anything, Republicans settled on then little known Mike Johnson of Louisiana, who became the Speaker. And with a very slim majority, Johnson, I think you can argue, actually had the House running pretty well, given that thin majority, for most of the year.
At the same time, Speaker Johnson was having to navigate the world of Donald Trump, that ever-present face inside the Republican Party. But at the beginning of the year, it wasn't a foregone conclusion that he would be the Republican nominee. In fact, if we look back at it, John, it was Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, who most folks thought had the money, had the resources, had the infrastructure, and would likely be that guy who would pull it together for the Republican Party as they would be turning the page on Donald Trump.
Yeah, it was a lot of the pundits were certain that DeSantis was going to be the Republican nominee. Trump was going through his myriad of legal problems throughout the course of the year. As the campaign, though, began to unfold, DeSantis proved to not be a particularly effective candidate, and he was particularly ineffective in places where retail politics is so important, like Iowa.
Yeah.
And so you began to see Trump win and win and win, and then the candidates, there were many. Vivek Ramaswamy was a Republican candidate for president. It ended up, DeSantis gets out, and the last person standing was Nikki Haley.
Yeah.
Which surprised a lot of people, but she never really got close to Donald Trump.
No, but she caused some problems for Donald Trump towards the end there as she started to raise some money. Donald Trump even going at threatening her, saying anybody who gave money to Nikki Haley would be persona non grata inside his Republican Party. She seems to be the one Republican who's not found their way back to a place of favorability with Donald Trump. I realize she endorsed him in the election. She kind of carried the water, but she's not getting one of those carrots that others got, is she?
No. So, you know, the future, the post-Donald Trump future of the Republican Party is anything but settled. But now we're going to we're going to have 4 years of a Donald Trump presidency.
Well, and leading up to those 4 years, John, as he was putting together his campaign, he was running against Joe Biden, probably the most unpopular sitting president that had been there in a while in terms of approval rating. A guy who was not above 50%, neither was Donald Trump. There was constant rumors and questions about whether or not Joe Biden had the stamina, the staying power to be able to go. There were questions about him starting to lose his faculties. And it wasn't until we saw the meltdown that took place at that terrible debate that he winds up pulling out. But for about a year and a half there, you and I thought, well, there wasn't likely he was going to be the candidate. I wind up acquiescing, saying, no, Joe Biden's a go. You were always skeptical.
Yeah, I never thought they would run the guy. It just didn't make any sense. Now, the way they got rid of him proved to not be very helpful to them by installing effectively Kamala Harris as the candidate without going through a vetting process, without going through a primary process. I think that ultimately hurt them. And Biden staying in that race for as long as he did a real great disservice. And I think will damage his legacy somewhat.
After that unbelievable debate, which was just a complete meltdown, nobody could believe what they were seeing. There was questions as to whether or not Biden would stay in the race. George Clooney, of all people, wrote an op-ed saying Joe Biden's got to go. That kind of started a topple on the left, if you will, and eventually Joe Biden says he's going to pull out, and the same day he pulls out, he endorses Kamala Harris. She takes to center stage, John. As we slid to the conventions, the Republicans had a fine convention, but it wasn't a home run. It wasn't a knock it out of the park. It was a bit slow, and then, of course, we had the assassination, which we're going to come back to.
Right.
But the Democratic convention really was rip-roaring and had a lot of the energy that people thought, oh, this was the change the Democratic Party needed.
Yeah, well, Harris got a real bump when she first got in the race, and that's not unusual when something like that happens. And that bump really did crescendo at the Democratic convention. But really, you know, in terms of her polling numbers, she never got beyond where Biden was.
And the story of the year, the individual of the year was Donald Trump, who ran an incredible campaign, one that I thought was laughable, John, when it first started. He doubled down on a lot of his extremist rhetoric that many people thought was problematic. He continued to push the tariffs narrative, which was contrary to where the Republican Party was. He was focused on immigration, talking about that wall that Mexico was going to build that they never did. He said he continued to attack Donald Trump or Joe Biden. And as it switched to Kamala Harris, when people thought he'd have a hard time attacking her, he continued the pressure there. And then we had that day in Ohio where something that we had not seen in quite some time in American politics, the assassination attempt on Donald Trump.
Yeah, Pennsylvania.
In Pennsylvania, that changed the trajectory of that race and really brought everything to a pause, did it not?
Well, it did. And you had that iconic photo of Trump being lifted up by the Secret Service, blood streaming down his side of his face and hand raised in defiance. Pretty iconic photograph. And, yeah, I think that had an effect on the election. Certainly, the second assassination attempt at Mar-a-Lago later also had an effect. But at the end of the day, I think the American people were just tired of Joe Biden's policies. They certainly understood they were paying a lot more for the cost of living than they had previously. And the government had gone through years, both administrations, Trump and Biden, of just throwing massive amounts of money into the economy and you know, hastening that inflationary effect.
And the voters not only rewarded Donald Trump with an election, they also said to the House of Representatives, you can stay under control of the Republicans, and they gave control of the United States Senate to the Republicans. Donald Trump's got himself set up nicely as we go into 2025 in terms of having both branches of government.
Well, he does. The House minority is very thin. There'll be some special elections this spring that will maybe get the Republicans back to 5, maybe 6 seat majority, but that's still very thin. And, of course, the Senate is 53-47 Republican now. They'll be able to pass bills out of the Senate through the reconciliation process. That's a process that involves spending money, taxes, where you don't need to meet the 60-vote threshold that every other policy issue is going to do, which tells me that the Republicans ought to be able to pass a tax package. They'll be able to fund the government. But in terms of comprehensive immigration reform, I don't see that happening.
And politically, probably the biggest story that came from the end of the year was the appearance of Elon Musk suddenly becoming a political force, playing a role inside the Trump administration and inside the Republican Party.
Yeah. Before the year ended, we saw that Elon Musk perhaps single-handedly spiked the deal to keep the debt ceiling from expanding. Eventually, the Republicans worked out another piece of legislation and got it passed. But yeah, Musk has a very large influence on that caucus. There's no doubt about that.
One would hope that 2025 will not be as exciting as 2024 was, because it's not a presidential election. But boy, if it's even half as exciting as the one we just lived through, we're going to have a lot to cover in 2025.
Yeah, you know, I'm making a prediction. Just knowing the personality types of Donald Trump and Elon Musk, I don't think that relationship is going to last very long. I think something's going to happen. I don't know what. Something's going to happen, though, and there'll be a falling out there. And I look for that to happen, in the first half of the year. So we'll see if that prediction comes true or not. We can check that out when we do the year of end review.
Hi, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. We've helped over 20,000 wedding parties get suited up. And here's the deal. You don't need to rent a suit. For about the same price, you can own one that's perfectly tailored for you. Over 60% of our business comes from referrals because we make it so easy. Whether your groomsmen live nearby or out of state, we've got everything covered. Trust me, this is the easiest part of planning your wedding. Stop by Nick's Menswear and let us show you why we're the fastest growing suit company in the country. Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Next year at this time.